This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
You're listening to Adam Barillet's All Natural here on Joy 94.9. Joining me on the line now is Louise Sales. She's a campaigner for the Say No to GE Foods campaign from Greenpeace. Louise, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Adam.
Could you start off by telling me a little bit about what exactly is genetically modified food?
So genetically modified food is food that comes from crops that's been genetically engineered, and what that means is that genes have been taken from other organisms such as viruses and bacteria, and they've been inserted into the crops, which have then been grown out and turned into foods that we then eat.
So why do we play around with nature and put things into the foods?
Well, genetic engineers will tell you that genetic engineering is really no different to what we've been doing, what farmers have been doing for generations in terms of selectively breeding plants to have better traits, but that's really not true. Genetic engineering is a radical new technology, and what it does, as I said, is take genes from bacteria, from viruses. The most common way of genetically engineering plants is to use a thing called a gene gun, which basically blasts the gene that they want to appear in the plant into the plant cells. So it's really quite a random process, and that's why we see a lot of unexpected results with genetically engineered crops, is because scientists simply don't know what they're doing. They'll claim it's really precise, but in actual fact it's not.
So really, at this point in time, the guinea pigs are humans.
That's right, yeah. And what we've seen with genetically engineered crops is growing evidence of environmental concerns associated with GE crops, and also human health concerns as well. So we've seen a huge increase in herbicide use as a result of the introduction of GE crops in places like the US, and also adverse effects on ecosystems, so biodiversity. And there's also growing evidence that GE crops may actually be harmful to human health as well, which is deeply worrying.
Why would you have be using an increased amount of herbicides on genetically engineered crops?
So 80% of genetically engineered crops are actually engineered to be herbicide tolerant. So that means that farmers can not only spray herbicide before they plant the crop to kill off weeds, they can also spray when the crop's in the ground, which they haven't been able to do before. So understandably, that's led to an increased use in herbicide in places like the US that have widely adopted GE crops.
Got you, I understand. Now, what's been happening in Australia recently? I believe that we're actually growing them in New South Wales and Victoria.
That's right. So last year, for the first time ever, Australia grew genetically engineered food crops, and so that's GE canola that's being grown, and that's being grown in New South Wales and Victoria. And the West Australian government's just announced that they're going to do large-scale trials there this year. So that's actually going to be entering the food chain for the first time this year. And what we're really concerned about is that that's going to be unlabeled, that canola. And there's very good reasons for consumers wanting it labeled. There's a wide range of reasons why consumers don't want to eat genetically engineered foods. So there's environmental concerns, health concerns, other ethical concerns. The actual GE canola variety that's been introduced in Australia, Monsanto's Roundup Ready canola, when that was fed to rats in laboratory studies, it actually resulted in an increased liver size of 15% in the rats fed that canola. But there's been no follow-up studies to see what the impacts could be for us eating that canola. And canola is used in a wide range of food products, so things like canola oil, margarine, and a wide range of processed foods. And currently, under Australian labelling legislation, none of those foods have to be labelled. So that's obviously what we're calling for, is proper labelling laws so consumers can make an informed choice about the food that they eat.
Has there been any evidence, I know it's early days still, but in America, where they've been using genetically engineered crops for a while now, has there been any ill effects shown on humans?
Well, that's a real problem in the US, because in the US, no GE foods are labelled, so it's actually very hard to trace any health effects. What we have seen in the US in recent years is a huge increase in food-related allergies, but we simply can't say if that's due to eating GE food, because the studies simply haven't been done and there's absolutely no monitoring. So that's another reason why labelling is really important, is so that it can be traced. So if consumers that are eating ghee foods are experiencing adverse long-term effects, then, yeah, we can trace it back. Because at the moment, we've got no way of knowing whether consumers have been eating ghee foods because they're not labelled.
Louise, why aren't governments seeing it as an importance of labelling foods at the moment?
Well, what we've got in Australia at the moment is it was a bit of a political compromise. The states actually all... labelling laws were introduced, I think, in 2002 or something like that, and all the states agreed that we needed to label genetically engineered food, but John Howard at the time claimed that it would be prohibitively expensive to label all genetically engineered foods. So at the moment, the labelling laws that we have in Australia is that any product where there's DNA in the final product has to be labelled if it's genetically engineered, but any ingredients that are highly processed, so these are things like canola oil and products from animals that have been fed ghee feed, don't have to be labelled. And we think that's simply not good enough. Consumers want to know whether their food's ghee, whether it's been highly processed or not. So we're obviously calling for those laws to be tightened up.
So John Howard saw it as being an expensive exercise to label all foods correctly. How does Kevin Rudd sit with it? Has he got a better response?
Well, certainly the ALP's policy before they came into power was supporting the comprehensive labelling of GE food, but unfortunately they seem to be doing a bit of a backflip on it. So we're trying to hold them to account to their policy, which is supporting the comprehensive labelling of GE food. And certainly from what we've seen in Europe, John Howard's arguments don't stand up. Europe's already got better labelling laws than us, and industries reported that it hasn't increased food prices in Europe. It's obviously providing consumers with the information that they need to make an informed choice about the food that they eat.
And another fascinating I'm finding is Australia's increasing their use of genetically engineered food, whereas other countries, especially in the European Union, are actually banning cultivation of GE food crops.
That's right. So in Europe, a number of countries have now banned the use of GE food crops. So a GE corn variety has now been banned in Germany and Spain. And yeah, GE foods are widely rejected by consumers all over Europe, which is one of our key export markets. So it seems really bizarre that we're introducing GE crops when consumers all around the world in places like Europe and Japan that we export to, and also consumers in Australia don't want to eat GE food either. So there was some independent polling done last year which showed that the majority of Australian consumers don't want to eat GE food. So, yeah, it seems very rash for industry to embrace GE crops at this time.
Now, one of the really interesting things I found, I think we can learn from the rest of the world, but we've actually had a couple of North American farmers coming around and doing a bit of a tour, speaking to some of the farmers in Australia.
That's right. So Greenpeace and a number of other groups co-hosted two North American farmers who came out earlier this year to talk about the dangers of GE crops. One of those farmers was a seed cleaner from Indiana, Mopa, and he'd actually, what seed cleaning is, it means farmers will take their seed at the end of the year if they want to replant it, and seed cleaners take out all the seeds and debris so that their seed's clean and they can plant it again the next year. Mo was actually sued by Monsanto for aiding and abetting farmers saving their seed. And unfortunately, despite his innocence, he had to settle out of the court because he couldn't afford the legal fees to take Monsanto on, which would have been added up to about $2 million by the time it had gone all the way to the Supreme Court.
Wow.
Which is a standard Monsanto tactic. So Monsanto's actually got a team of 500 staff and a budget of several million devoted solely to suing farmers for patent infringement. And that's the real agenda behind GE crops. What GE crops mean is that because GE seeds patented, farmers aren't allowed to save their seed from year to year as they've been doing for generations. They have to buy new seed every year from the chemical company, which means obviously the chemical company makes a lot of money, but it's a real concern for farmers, particularly in the developing world where farmers simply don't have the money to buy new seed every year, especially expensive genetically engineered seed.
So if farmers were to go back to non-genetically engineered seeds, they wouldn't have this issue?
That's right, but the real problem with introducing GE crops is the contamination concerns. So what we saw when genetically engineered crops were introduced to Canada, GA canola was introduced. Pretty soon, 90% of all the non-GE certified seed was contaminated with GE material, which removes choice for both farmers and consumers who want GE-free food and seed. So that's the real danger with these crops is once they're released into the environment, they're impossible to control, and it pretty quickly removes choice for everybody.
And I believe in one of your press releases, it actually talks about a Canadian farmer whose name is Ross Murray, who grew genetically modified canola for 4 years. And he actually found that the crops were not as good and the yields were not as good as prior to using genetically modified canola.
That's right, yeah. So Ross's experience was he actually grew genetically engineered canola and found that it yielded less and cost more to grow. And that experience has certainly been validated in Australia. There was national variety trials of genetically engineered canola last year. Independent trials were done and they actually found that the best yielding genetically engineered canola variety actually yielded 10% less than the best non-GE canola variety, and it also costs 15% more to grow. So it really, from a economic perspective for farmers, GE canola simply doesn't stack up. The only people that stand to make money out of genetically engineered crops are the biotechnology industry and the seed companies, and these are the people that have been lobbying government really strongly to lift the bans on GE crops in Australia, and they're a very powerful. Yeah, they're very powerful companies involved, and unfortunately they seem to have the government's ear.
So would I be right in saying the reason why there's so much confusion about whether genetically modified genetically modified food is good for ourselves and good for farmers as well is just because there's large companies out there that are creating these seeds, and they're throwing a lot of money to kind of, I guess, make a smokescreen about the benefits and the downfalls?
That's right. The companies involved in genetically engineered crops like Monsanto, they stand to make millions if genetically engineered crops are introduced in Australia. So they're throwing millions at the PR, and they keep repeating this mantra that we need genetically engineered crops to feed the world, but they don't increase yield, and they put the control of the world's food supply in the hands of a few giant multinationals. The complete opposite to what we need for global food security, which is farmers being able to save their own seed and cheap and inexpensive seed. There's a huge amount of money is being invested in trying to promote GE crops in Australia. Until now, the vast majority of GE crops have been confined to just four countries. So 85% of GE crops are grown in the US, Canada, Argentina and Brazil. So there are very few GE crops grown in the world, and Australia is obviously a huge new potential market. So the industry is investing a lot in trying to promote GE crops here.
Louise, what can we do to make sure our concerns are and our opinions are heard?
So we've actually got a website, which is www.truefood.org.au, and we've actually got a labelling petition on the website, which people can sign, calling for the proper labelling and safety testing of GE food. Now, if consumers want to avoid GE food, we've also got a True Food Guide that we produce, which rates brands according to whether they use GE ingredients or not, and that's also available on our website, or you can ring us up at Greenpeace for a copy. You can sign up to the True Food Network, and we send out a monthly email telling people what they can do to get involved and to help with the campaign.
That's absolutely great that Greenpeace has actually come up with the True Food Guide, but really the government should just be labelling food and you wouldn't have to do that, would you?
That's right. The only reason we have to produce that guide is because there's not adequate information already on products to tell consumers, whether they're GE or not.
Louise, thank you so much for your time today and I guess trying to clear away a bit of the smoke screen of what's happening with genetically engineered food around the world.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks for having me on the program.
That's Louise Sales, the campaigner for the Say No to GE Foods campaign from Greenpeace. Of course, if you'd like to find out more about that and everything that Greenpeace is going, just go to their website at greenpeace.org.au.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.